Hey, welcome to X Church. If you're brand new, I just want to say we're honored that you're here today. If this is your first time, my name's Tim. I'm the lead pastor. And you're kind of catching us at the very end of a really prominent series. For the last 10 weeks, we have just dove headfirst into all things mental health. And this is a subject we've had people telling us that this has resonated with them. This is something that I think we all know is a major issue in our world today. It's only getting worse, as it seems, every year. And so we just felt like it was important for us to dive into it. And so I hope that it's been helpful for you. I hope that it has encouraged you. And this weekend, as we kind of bring this series to a close, we're calling it Hope Weekend. Because I know that sometimes whenever you battle something for a long time, especially mental health, a lot of times the one thing you feel like you don't have enough of is hope. And I want us to bookend and end this series with something that can give you real handles for hope in your life. I just think it's so critical for our health and our journey. And here's the thing about mental health struggles and mental illness. I have found oftentimes that when you are struggling in your mind, that oftentimes it feels like you just are like walking into a cave. And it seems like every day that it doesn't get better, that you keep walking. Here's what I can liken it to. It's just like when you walk into a cave, the further you go into the cave, you notice the darker it gets. And it's hard to know how to get out of it. That's kind of why we've been doing this series, is because our hope is that it would give you the handles. It would help you to be able to turn around. Listen, I'm not naive to think that I'm going to preach one message and all your problems are going to disappear and you'll never have another struggle when it comes to your mental health. But I do pray that something in this series or throughout it has given you the courage, it's given you the strength, it's given you the direction to turn around and take a step toward healing and wholeness, because I believe that that is God's desire for us. I really do. I believe it's God's desire for us to walk in healing and to find hope. But let's all just recognize something. In our culture today, our world is in short supply of hope, isn't it? Like, I see it when I watch the news and when I talk to people and I sense their attitude and their sense of fear that seems to come over people. And this epidemic, I mean, here's what we've seen, is that anxiety is on the rise. Every year it's getting worse. Depression just continues to soar. People with suicidal thoughts and attempts continues to grow. We are living in an epidemic of mental health struggle and mental illness. It is all around us. And what I see when I look around in our culture is that a lot of people want hope, but they don't know where to find it. Where do I find hope? Maybe that's why you showed up here today. Maybe you're not a believer. Maybe you're not someone who, like, I don't know about faith and I don't know about God, but I'm struggling and I need hope. If you're here, I'm glad you came to the right place. I want to talk about where to find hope for our healing today. Where do I go? How do I find hope for my healing? And I do believe that if you want to know when it comes to illness, physical, mental, whatever, I really believe that hope is attached to healing. Here's how I know that, because when I get sick, or if you've ever had an illness, you've ever, under the weather, you get sick, you deal with something, you know what you really hope for? You hope to be healed. You hope for wholeness. That the thing that we attach our hope to is that one day we're going to be whole again, that we're going to get better, that we're going to be healed. And I believe the same is true for our mind. The one thing that we're looking for when it comes to hope for our mental health struggle is we're looking to be healed. I just want to get these thoughts out of my head, or I don't want to have the panic attacks, and I don't want to feel so sad all the time, and I just want to feel normal, is what we say. We're wondering where to find hope, and I've been very cautious. Let me just say this. Throughout this entire series, I've been very cautious to make sure that I don't get up here and just say things that give false hope. In fact, that's one of the reasons why, as communicators, we've given our message notes to counselors, is because we want them to help make sure that we're not selling something that's not real, that we're not missing the boat, that we're talking about mental health in an appropriate way. It's because I think one of the things that's more damaging than anything else is to have false hope. False hope can be so damaging. And I think our world is full of false hope. We have every article, every ad, everything we see in our culture today is peddling false hope. I know this because I see it on Instagram. You ever scroll on Instagram and all of a sudden you get an ad where a little video will pop up and there's this person who's like really shredded and he was like, look, click here, 28 days to a shredded summer body. I've clicked it. I've watched the video. And then they're like, if you buy this and subscribe to this, and it's just so easy. You can eat anything you want. If you just take this little liquid three times a day, put it under your tongue, you'll have washboard abs in 28 days. Can I just tell you, that's false hope. That stuff don't work. Hello? Or sometimes you'll see people and they're selling like these jobs, these gigs where it's like, hey, if you want to make six figures living at home 4 hours a day in your pajamas, click here. I'm telling you, that thing does not exist. If you can work 4 hours a day from your home and make six figures in your pajamas, if you can do that, please come and let me know after we get done. I'd love to talk with you out in the foyer. I'd love to find out, you know, your secret, and because I got a new side hustle, you know what I mean? It's not real. The world is constantly peddling false hope. Now listen, sometimes the church does it too. Sometimes the church has been guilty of it. You know, where pastor will get up and talking about mental health and you're struggling, but it's not working. It says, you just need to pray more. You need to believe harder. Well, I'm trying to believe with everything in me, but I just pray and it just the thoughts don't go away and I don't know what to do. Well, you just need to pray for faith. If you pray for faith, then you'll have the faith and then God will do the miracle, and then you, really? See, this has also been at times, I just want to be honest, that the church at large has sometimes peddled false hope too. That we can just get up here and throw out a bunch of Christian cliches and just cute phrases that if you just say this, you pray this number of times, you say these words and all of a sudden magically your mind is healed and you won't ever have these thoughts and you'll be great and life's perfect. Can I just tell you, we've been very cautious to not do that because I don't want to peddle false hope. And the church has at times done that long enough. But here's the thing when it comes to hope. I want to be careful that I don't fall into one of these two extremes. I don't want to land in the extreme where it's just all about, like, you just need to pray harder and read your Bible more. And if you just had more faith, then all of a sudden God would heal you. You'd have the hope you need. I don't want to fall in that camp. But I also don't want to swing so far to the other extreme where I've lost all hope because I prayed once and nothing happened. And so now I guess I'm just going to have to suck it up. I'm just going to have to stick it out. And I'm just going to, you know, well, one day it'll be better because God says that we'll get healed eventually when we die and go to heaven. Can I just tell you, I don't want to live in those extremes because I believe that real hope, you can find it. And I believe it is found in the middle. In fact, I think it's closer than you might think. See, people wonder, where do we find hope today? And sadly, when it comes especially to mental health, there are a lot of people who are trying to find hope in a bottle. And they're medicating their symptoms, but they're not actually dealing with the problem. They're trying to find hope in a drug, trying to find hope in a program, trying to find hope in a prescription. Listen, some of those things could be helpful. Some of them could be very dangerous. But here's what I wanted to say to you today. I believe that hope is a lot closer than you might imagine. In fact, so close that I want to say this one thought, and it's a little provocative, but you just have to hear me out. Here's what I really believe, and this is the title of my message today. Hope is in you. Hope is in you. And I know you're going, wait, no, Pastor, you got that wrong, because I know the answer. I am to put my hope in God. Yes, you are. Correct, also. But I'm not talking, when I say hope is in you, I'm not talking about like you're the source of hope. You're not, and I'm not, okay? I'm not talking about you and me being the source of hope, but I am saying that hope is in you. And if you give me just a little bit of time, I wanna unpack this. And I wanna give you maybe one of the most practical messages you ever heard about hope. Because I don't wanna just stand up here and just cheer and hype up something that we have no idea how to actually experience. I want to talk about how do we really find hope. And I actually had this message given to me. It was just downloaded probably about 5 weeks ago. I was in the gym. I was working curls, working on the biceps. I was just getting after it. and God just downloaded this message, and I put down the weight. So if my arms look a little small, it's God's fault, because I literally stopped in the middle of the gym, and I stopped my ears, and you know, from playing the message I was listening, and I'm like, and I'm just feverishly just typing this up, and I just felt like God gave me this message to close out the series. And so if you have a Bible with you, I'm going to be in 2 Kings chapter 5. And God brought to my mind this story, along with a message that I pray will give you a renewed sense of hope today. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we're introduced to a guy who was actually on the other team. When I say that, most of the Old Testament follows the story of the Israelites. Well, this particular story follows a guy who was kind of an enemy of the Israelites. He was a commander of the army of Aram, and they were always battling, and they were actually at times harassing the Israelites. And so it says in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but what did he have?" Can you all say that out loud with me? He had leprosy. Now, here's the guy, I want you to understand, he is the top military brass for the king of Aram. In other words, throughout the years, he had proven himself to be a valiant warrior. Imagine going to battle against the Israelites, killing many of them. This is a guy who had kind of come through the ranks. He's now top, like, four-star general, leading the army for the king of Aram, okay? And here's what we know of him. He's incredibly successful. In fact, the writer of this says that God gave him success. He was successful in battle. He's successful in life. He's risen to the top. You want to talk about promotion? Maybe, you know, top general. I mean, he's successful in every area of his life except for one little thing. It said that he had leprosy. Now, here's what's interesting about leprosy back then. Because leprosy today is very treatable. You get leprosy, and there's medicines and things that can cure you of leprosy. Back then, there was no treatment for it. And leprosy was the kind of disease that if you got it, you would hide it. You would not want anybody to know. You see this throughout the scriptures. It's because leprosy was one of those diseases that could transfer. You could pass it on. And so if you had leprosy and other people knew you had it, and there's no cure, can you imagine what they do, right? I mean, there's no masks for this. You're getting away. Like, this person is like they have cancer, and they could get it on you, and so you would be ostracized if you had leprosy. And so here's what everybody did when all of a sudden a skin disease starts, and they don't want anybody to see it, as they cover it up. Here's a guy who's incredibly successful, but he has something that probably nobody knows. He's making good money, but he's got a problem that maybe he keeps hidden. And you know, I was thinking, maybe this is a perfect illustration and picture for mental health today. Why? Because people can be really successful in life. You can have a great job. You could have your own business. You can be doing well in life, having an awesome house. You could be doing great in your relationships. You can look like the epitome of success to everyone around you, but you might have a condition that nobody knows about, and you make sure to keep it hidden, don't you? One of the things that we've tried to do in this series is to destigmatize mental health, because the thing that will actually keep you from experiencing healing is when you keep something hidden. The longer you keep something hidden, it'll never become healed. Why? Because you have to bring it into the light. And so our goal has been to normalize it. Why? Because statistics say that all of us at some point are going to deal with our mental health crisis. All of us at some point could deal with some form of a mental illness. All of us at some point are going to struggle with it. The question is, are you going to hide it? Or are you going to expose it so that God can heal it? My prayer has been through this series that us talking about it has enabled you to talk about it. But us bringing it up will enable you to bring it up to someone, to have the courage. And here's Naaman, who he has a problem that no one knows about. Now, how do we know about it? Well, we know about it because of what happens next. Look at verse 2 and 3 with me. It says this: "Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So get this, right? Bands of raiders from Israel's enemy, Aram, would go into Israel's territory, would go and steal things, including people, as slaves, and take them back to their land. That's what happens to this girl. And here's this girl who now is enslaved to Naaman's wife. So she actually is one of the few people that probably had the opportunity to realize that he had a problem. Never around the guys, never around work, never around the king are you going to expose your weakness. But when you're at home and you're taking off your armor, and when his wife is trying to take care of him, that's when it becomes exposed. And so she realizes this, and she says, "Do you know that there is hope of healing, right?" You know how she knows there's hope of healing? Because she's seen a man do it. She's seen God heal through a prophet, and the prophet was named Elisha. And so she says to him, "You got to go see this prophet. He knows God. He has the power to heal." And so I'm going to skip some of the story, which is he gets permission. He goes to the king of Israel first, which was not the prophet. The king of Israel is freaking out. "I can't heal you. What are you doing coming to me?" And so he ends up finally going to this prophet. And you find this story in verse 9. Here's what it says. It says, "So Naaman went with his horses and chariots, and he stopped at the door of Elisha's house." "Elisha, are you in there?" Says Elisha, when he knocks on the door, I love this. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, can you imagine, just opens the door. Boom. "Hey, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you'll be cleansed." Look at this. "But Naaman went away." How? Everybody say, he went away. He's mad. Why are you mad? He just gave you the prescription. He went away angry and said, "I thought..." Two of the most dangerous words you could ever say. "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? I made this whole trip for nothing." So he turned and he went off in a rage. Isn't it funny how Elisha gave him a really simple prescription? "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed." And what does he do? He refuses to do it. He refuses to do it. Now, who would do something like that? Can we all agree that's dumb? Who would refuse to do that? And then I thought to myself, oh, we do it all the time. What do you mean? Well, I don't know. We know today that one of the leading contributors to increased anxiety and depression and low self-esteem and low self-worth and people feeling miserable about their lives is spending too much time on their phones. Screen time, especially for the younger generation, where we see anxiety and depression are skyrocketing. And what don't we do? Nope, I'm not going to shut off. I'm not going to delete social media. I can't get off of it. I'm not going to change anything, but I want God to heal me. Does that make sense? No. But that's what we do. We're more like Naaman than we realize. Here's what Naaman, he's told, if you just go wash, God will heal you. But Naaman, it says he got angry because the prophet did not offer the healing the way he expected it. It wasn't going to happen the way he thought it was. Here's what he thought. First of all, he thought that he deserved at least the respect of the prophet to show up. He just sent a servant. How rude. I bet he was offended by that. And I thought he would come out, he'd call on the Lord his God, he'd maybe do some chants and he would do stuff, because I've seen people do that. And then I thought he'd come out and he would just wave his hand over it. It's like Jedi mind trick. Like he had some kind of sleight of hand magic trick or something to make his leprosy go away. That's what he thought, right? He said, I thought he would do it this way. You know what I was thinking? I was thinking, don't we sometimes feel like that with God? Oh, I prayed and I thought God would answer my prayer, but he hasn't yet. I thought God would show up if I asked him, and I really believed hard, but I don't know, nothing's happened. And here's the thing, sometimes we read in scripture where God would just do a miracle instantaneously. There are times when Jesus would just, he would speak a word, where Jesus with one touch would heal someone. The woman who just grabbed the hem of his garment and she's healed, that's all it takes. Listen, can I just tell you a truth that I understand about God, about the miraculous when it comes to scripture is this. Sometimes God heals suddenly. Sometimes God heals gradually. Both are a miracle. Both are a miracle. No. Isn't it a miracle like when God just does something supernaturally? Well, what if God's doing something, but it takes longer than you think it should? Is that not a miracle? Can I tell you, I have seen both. I've prayed for people and seen God do something instantaneously. And I've had other people that I've been praying for a long time and maybe even took months or years before they actually felt whole. I remember when I was a teenager, my mom was having these really bad headaches and they wouldn't go away no matter what she was doing, taking medication, and they wouldn't go away. And one day we were at the house and she said, Tim, will you pray for me? I was like, I guess, sure. I'm like 15 years old, 16 years old. And so I just, God, will you heal her? And Jesus, I didn't pray this big, you know, calling on God and fire from heaven to consume the disease that's eating at her brain. I didn't do any of that. I was like, God, I pray that you'd heal her. The headaches are bad. Will you just make them go away in Jesus' name? Amen. That was it. And I went downstairs. Like 3 minutes later, she yells, Tim! I'm like, what? Tim! She said, right after you left and prayed for me, the headaches went away and they never came back. I've seen it. I don't know what to say. I've prayed for some people and I've seen God heal them instantly. There are all kinds of miracles recorded in Scripture where people ask God to move, and it seems like he does immediately. But you might be surprised to know that there are a whole lot more other miracles that God did gradually. I'll give you an example of one. Here's one that you probably never would expect. You know the story in the Old Testament where Moses is leading the Israelites out of Egypt, and they come to the Red Sea, and they're stuck, and the army's coming in, and they don't know what to do? And so if you've seen the movie Ten Commandments, you know what happens, right? Because Charlton Heston raised his staff above the Red Sea, and immediately what happened? The waters pulled back into a big wall of water so they could walk through on dry ground. And all he had to do was magically wave his hand and his magic wand over the seas, and everybody walked through on dry ground, and God rescued them, right? That's the story. That's the picture that we have in our minds. But if you read Scripture, that's not what happened. What actually happened was Moses raised his staff over the waters. And it says, then God brought an eastern wind that blew all night long and started to pull back the waters. Wait, you mean it didn't happen immediately? No, it actually took all night long. There are some miracles that you read about in Scripture that didn't happen immediately, but were a process. Another great example of one is King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah is a king of Israel in the Old Testament that he gets deathly ill. He has boils, and they had no way of dealing with it. And so God sent a prophet named Isaiah, you probably heard of him, to the king to tell him, hey, bad news, you're going to die. I'm a prophet. I'm letting you know. You're going to die. Get your house in order. God said, you're going to die from this. It's going to take you out. And as soon as the prophet left, Hezekiah started crying out to God, no, God, I want to live. God, will you heal me? And before the prophet could leave the courtyard, God spoke to the prophet and said, go back. What? Yeah, go back. And so the prophet goes back to him and says, you know what? God actually just heard your prayer. You're going to live. I am, but I'm still sick. You will. You're going to get healed eventually. And the prophet then told the people what to do. He said, go out and get this particular herb, go get this oil, go get this leaf, go get this thing, and rub it on the boil. And here's what Scripture tells us. 3 days later, he felt better to get out of bed. Can I ask you a question? Was that a miracle or not? Is it a miracle? I mean, God said you're going to die and turn it around, but he didn't heal him instantly. In fact, he had to do something in order to experience the healing. Still a miracle. And I know this won't preach well because most of the time we love the preaching that talks about, man, there's a breakthrough, and if you just pray and you just believe and then just God's just go, boom, breakthrough, and we all want breakthroughs, and that's why we'll pray all the time for financial breakthroughs. God, please give me a financial breakthrough. What we're really praying is we're asking God for a really big check. right? God, I just needed to drop something really bad. I need a promotion. Big promotion would be awesome. God, I'm just praying. Maybe I go into the boss's office. He call me in. Big promotion. I'm going to make a bunch more money. It's going to get us out of this jam. What if God wants to bless you financially, but not by dropping some big, huge breakthrough check in your mailbox, but what if he wants you to actually order your finances the way God intends, where you put him first and you honor him by putting him first with the tithe, and then God says, watch how I bless you and help you get out of the mess you're in. I'm waiting on a breakthrough. God goes, I'm waiting for you to order your finances. I've lost hope. I've lost hope for my marriage because she won't change. She's the problem. So God, I'm just praying, just change her. But I keep waking up and she hasn't changed. Maybe God will say, maybe it's because you need to change. See, a lot of times we're praying and asking God to do one thing and God doesn't do it and we lose hope. It's because he does it in a way we didn't expect. And I want you to hear this today, and I want you to receive this thought. Some miracles God does for you. We see it in Scripture. But some miracles, I believe God wants to do with you. And there's a difference. There's some moments you see that Jesus just a gift in a moment. But I also believe that there are times when God will give miracles, but it's something he wants to do with you. And can I just say this? I believe that it is God's desire for us to experience healing and wholeness. And I'm not saying that in some prosperity gospel way where God doesn't ever want you to be sick and if you can't just name it, claim it. I just don't believe in all that crap. But I do believe it's God's desire for us to experience healing. Let me tell you why I believe that. I don't believe that because somehow God's people should never deal with sickness and illness and somehow we're better than everybody else and God loves us more than he loves us. I believe that because of God's design. Do you know that you have a miraculous healing power already inside of you? Do you know that? You did realize that, right? See, I think it's part of God's design. There's a miraculous healing power already inside of you. I can give you some examples from my own life. When I was about 6 or 7 years old, down in our basement, we had these metal desks. I don't know if any of you are old enough to remember old school metal desks that they used to have in classrooms where they're like metal on the bottom and wood on top and they're a little top, but metal. So we had one of those in our basement. And my mom tells me to this day, she says, I have no idea why, but I'm dumb and when I was a kid and hyperactive and did stupid things. But I decided I was going to hang upside down from this metal desk when I was like 6 years old. And of course, gravity did it what it's supposed to do. And it fell over and it fell on me and it hit me in the forehead and it sliced my forehead open. Now just real quick poll. I just want to ask. How many of you have accidentally cut yourself pretty bad? Like cut your arm, foot, hand, toe, forehead. How many of you ever cracked your forehead? Anybody cracked your forehead? Like this. I had to go to the hospital. I still remember sitting in the doctor's office. It was so traumatic. Blood dried in my hair, blood on face, and then having to clean it. Oh, that was the worst thing. And then inject lidocaine and then sew it all up. It was so awful. I just remember it. But here's the crazy thing. You don't even know that today. I mean, you have to look real close to my hairline. There's like a 2-inch scar, but you don't even know that today. And it's great that we have doctors who can stitch things up, but do you realize that I healed naturally? Because my body was designed to heal. And so you know this, right? Because you've cut yourself, you've hurt yourself, and you put a Band-Aid on it. This is just a Band-Aid on it. And all of a sudden, it worked. It just healed. Can I just tell you that's a miracle? You know, you may not realize this, but this is actually one of still the big struggles that that evolution has to explain. I mean, it's explained a lot of things, but evolution still struggles when it comes to the whole idea of the body naturally blood, the clotting happening at the source of a wound, the number of things that have to happen in your cells and all these different systems that come together to begin to heal your body because God designed our bodies to naturally heal themselves. I'm trying to tell you something you already know, right? God designed him to, if you were here last week, there's an interview with Dr. West, who was there, and he asked me this question. You remember, if you heard the video, he said, have you ever broken a bone? I said, well, not that I really remember, but there was this one time where I think I might have. And I was playing basketball when I was a kid. I was like 16, 17 years old, came down, landed on somebody. If you've ever done this, it'll make you a little queasy, but I turned my ankle completely, like all the way over, and I swear to you, I heard a crack. Like it was that, like it's like, and I was like, ah, and I was laying there in pain, and I was like, it's broken. I never went to the doctor because, well, I'm dumb. I didn't go to the doctor. I refused to go. But I got home, and I propped my foot up on the couch on pillows. The ankle had swollen up to the size of a softball, right? And I put ice on it and things like that, okay? And guess what? It took about a week or so, but I was able to start putting some pressure on it. Another week, and I was starting to walk a little bit better, maybe a little limp, but I started to walk. And you know what's crazy? I mean, I messed my foot up and everything, but look at this. Like, it's good now. You know what I mean? Like, I can play basketball. I can run the 40 in 4.4 now. I can do all kinds of things. You don't know I can't, okay? I'm just saying, you don't know. I might be able to. What fixed that? It wasn't a doctor. It wasn't medicine. It's a healing power that God has already put in us. And what I'm saying is, if God designed your physical body to heal, don't you think God might have also designed your mind to heal? Do you think he designed the organ behind your mind to heal? Yes, because they have found even people that have strokes in the brain, and when an artery may explode or things, they can go in and stop the bleeding. Guess what happens? It regrows new pathways to take blood to the portion of the brain that you need. It is a marvel. It's beautiful. It's a miracle, and it's something that God created us with. And so what I'm saying today is that there are times when it's just like, all right, God, I need a miracle. Do a miracle. Show up. There's times when we want him to do that. I get that. But could it be that there are other times where God wants you to work with him for the healing? Because he says to Naaman, he says, I want you to go wash in the Jordan 7 times. I'll meet you in the river when you're obedient to do what I asked you to do. I'll show up when you do what I ask you to do. And I think sometimes this is, we can over-spiritualize things in the church to the point where we don't actually do anything. We just sit around and pray for God to do everything. And we wonder why we don't have much hope. I want to say just a statement, and I hope we all receive it today, and that is, you are responsible for your health. Nobody else. I didn't say you're solely responsible for your healing, but you might be partly responsible for your healing. And so here's the question that I wanna ask every person. As we're wrapping up the series, this is the question that I wanted to challenge you all with. What is God asking you to do as we close out the series, throughout it? What has God been asking you to do that you have not been obedient yet to do? What has God been speaking to you through this series that you haven't yet done? So you can sit around all day and wait for God to do all the heavy lifting, but God might actually be waiting for you, Naaman, to go take a dip in the Jordan. What's he been asking you to do? Maybe it's to develop some healthy rhythms that might actually move you toward a healthy state of mental health. Maybe it's the time to change your eating. We've talked about that in this series. Maybe it's time to develop a rhythm where you actually intake something that is positive, something that builds your faith, something that strengthens you. Maybe it's time to start reading your Bible, crack it open every day instead of just showing up at church on Sunday and asking the pastor to do it for you. Maybe you need to actually start praying every day. Maybe you need to show up and you start worshiping God and actually leaning in. Maybe you need to develop some rhythms that will begin to build something inside of you so that you have resilience in the face of anxiety. What is it? I don't know. Throughout this series, we've talked about addiction. Maybe you need to tell somebody. Maybe you're like Naaman. Nobody needs to know. I can manage it on my own, but I can't stop drinking. I can't stop taking these pills. I can't stop doing this. You know what? You will never find freedom and healing until you tell somebody. What is it? I don't know. I'm asking. What's the thing that God has been asking you to do you've refused to do? Maybe it's that you need to change your environment. Maybe there's some relationships in your life that are so toxic that every time you're around them, they just pull you deeper and deeper into despair. And maybe what God is speaking to you is it's time to come out from them and actually surround yourself in faith-filled community. Get into a circle. Surround yourself with people that will hold you accountable and encourage you. I'm just asking, what's God been speaking to you specifically? What is it? Maybe it's to go see a counselor. We have talked about it nearly every single week of this series. And yet I'm still surprised by how many people are so proud, I don't need to see a counselor. Going to see a counselor is for people who are messed up. I hate to tell you, we're all messed up. Or maybe, I'm just going to say this, maybe some of you need to swallow your dang pride. I made it PG. Some of you need to swallow your dang pride and actually go see a doctor. Well, I don't want to go see a doctor, and I don't want any medications because that's for people who are crazy, and I don't want. I hate to tell it to you, but ask everybody around you. They probably already think you're crazy. And maybe some medication might be helpful to bring some balance to what otherwise is crazy. I don't know, but here's the sad reality is that sometimes in the church world we'll just sit around and go, I'm waiting for a miracle, and God says, I'm waiting for you to get in the river. And God told Naaman through the prophet, I want you to dip 7 times. That's weird. Why didn't you just dip once? See, I personally don't think, I've been to Israel and I've seen the Jordan River. I firmly believe there is no medicinal properties in the Jordan River. You will need healing if you go into the Jordan River. It's that nasty. So when he says, whoa, there's cleaner rivers back where I'm from, there probably were cleaner rivers. It wasn't about the river. See, people with leprosy can get in the river all the time and nothing happens. What God was looking for is, will you be obedient to what the man of God said? That's what he was looking for. He was looking for obedience. And he says, I want you to go and to cleanse yourself and to go in there 7 times. Why seven? Why seven? Why seven? Well, it's interesting. Throughout scripture, we see the number 7 as a significance. The number 7 is the number of completion. It's as if God was saying to him, you go and keep dipping until you're completely healed. And I don't know, by the way, if you read this story, I don't want to leave it hanging, but as he runs away angry because God didn't do miracle the way he thought he would, his own servant came to him and said, are you dumb? All you have to do is go take a dip in the river and you're going to walk away from your healing? Are you dumb? I wonder if sometimes, this is my hope, the Holy Spirit will speak to us when we're sitting in church and say, are you dumb? I've given you steps to take. I've put the miraculous healing agent inside your body, inside your brain, inside your mind. I want you to walk in wholeness, but you have to take a step and do it. And that doesn't mean, well, I went to a counselor once and I tried it and it didn't work. Do you know, I got to a season that I was so low that I went to a counselor for a year and a half. I'm doing great now. Thanks for asking. But I wasn't doing great then. I had to persist. I had to walk through it. Why? Because sometimes we want a quick fix. But there are some things I have found, anxiety, depression, all these other things. You know what I found? I think a lot of times there are symptoms to underlying issues. And what God wants to deal with is not the symptom, but what's really underneath there. And so for me, I had to go through a process. I had to go through the time. I had to go back to the river over and over again. And sometimes you're in it and you feel like nothing's happening and you feel like God's not doing anything. Can I remind you that just because you can't see it doesn't mean God's not working. Just because you can't see it. 3 days into having my foot up and I still couldn't walk, swollen, black and blue. It looks like God's not doing anything. But what I couldn't see on the outside was that God was actually fixing it on the inside. When I cut my forehead open, it looked terrible forever and it seemed like nothing was happening. But God always starts the healing on the inside before he finally brings it to the surface. And I came here to tell you, if you're looking for hope, hope is in you. Hope is in you, not because you or I are the source of hope, but hope is in you because because the God you worship, if you're a follower of Jesus, dwells in you. And there is something really powerful about that. Hope is in you. It's in you. In fact, I want to invite you just to stand with me if you would. I was praying and I said, God, how do we end this series? I didn't want to just preach a last message. I just felt like this series is more important for us than just preach a message and pray a quick prayer and we go home. And I said, God, how do I end this? And God brought this verse to my mind that I want to read to you. I do think hope is in you, but I think the source of hope is not you. In Romans 15, 13, this might be a verse for some of you to write down, to memorize for this week. Romans 15, 13 says, may the God of what? Oh, may the God of hope, he is the God of hope, fill you with all joy. I'm in despair, I'm depressed. Ah, God of hope wants to fill you with joy. And oh, by the way, I believe that you can have joy and still struggle with depression at the same time. I believe that you can walk with the tension of both, but you don't have to go through a valley without God with you. Hey, I want to fill you with all joy, the God of hope, and peace. Oh, you are anxious. You got a troubled mind. Okay, the God of hope wants to fill you with peace as you trust in him. God, I don't see it happening. Trust in me. Take a step, be obedient, move in the direction I'm calling you to move in, and watch me work as you trust in him so that you may overflow with what? Say it again, overflow with what? Overflow with hope. I love this. By the power of the what? The Holy Spirit. See, the source of hope is the Spirit of God in you. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, man, I'm just telling you, you probably don't have a lot of reason to have hope in this world. But if you are a follower of Jesus, you have every reason to have hope in this world. No matter what you're facing, what you're going through, what you're walking through, we have every reason to have hope. And so today, as we wrap up, I want to ask you right now just to bow your heads for a moment. I want to have a moment of prayer, and I want to have a moment of honesty. Because I felt like I wanted to pray something bold over you here today. If throughout this series, any of the weeks, this content, this topic has resonated with you. I think one of the things the enemy would love nothing more for us to do is to live in shame. And so I want to pray for you today specifically. If this has been your struggle in the past, if maybe you're in a season of darkness, you've been in the cave for a long time. You struggle with anxiety, social anxiety, suicidal thoughts, depression, worry, fear, stress. You're burnt out. You're overwhelmed. You're overcome. You don't know how you're ever going to get out of this. You don't feel joy. You don't feel peace. You don't know the Spirit of God in that way. I want to pray for you today. And so if that's you, just a heads bow. I want to ask every person to slip your hand up if that's you today. If this series has spoken to you, if this series has ministered to you, hands going up everywhere. Now let's be honest. So I'm just going to wait. Lift your hand if that's you today. I think there's more. Lift your hand if that's you today. I want to pray over you if that's you today. This is you reaching out to God. This is you exposing it to God and saying, God, I need your help. God, I want the healing that comes through the power of your Spirit. And Father, I pray right now over every person with their hand raised. I pray, God, right now that the God of hope would begin to fill their soul. I thank you, Jesus, that you give us your Spirit to comfort us and to guide us into truth and to bring healing. And so, God, I pray right now for every weary soul. I pray for every hurting mind. I pray for every anxious person that's been gripped by fear. I pray, Father, for the person, the people in here that have been overwhelmed by suicidal thoughts, by thoughts of harming themselves, those who have been cutting and burning themselves. God, I pray right now for those who are in such distress, those who are tired, those who are weary, those who are thinking about giving up. And in the name of Jesus, I just pray hope to fill them right now. I pray, God, for your spirit to wash over them. I pray, God, they would feel your presence. They would know that even though they walk through a valley of shadow of death, they don't have to fear evil, because God, you're with us. You're with us. And God, you're going to bring healing as we work with you in the name of Jesus.
Thanks so much for tuning into this message. I hope that it encouraged you and inspired your faith. If God is doing something in your life, would you take a moment and let us know? We want to connect with you and we want to be able to pray for you. All you have to do is shoot us an email to hello@thex.church, or you can always send us a DM on one of our social media platforms. And if you know somebody that would also be encouraged by this very message, why not take a moment and just share it with them right now? And as always, I want to say thank you to every single person who so generously financially supports this ministry so we can continue to get messages like these out to people all over the world. We believe God is building something special, and you're a significant part of it. Until next time, have a great day.